It's Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. The story of a single province suggests the growing trouble in Afghanistan. It is the northern province of Kunduz, a land of bare desert hills and river valleys.
8 years ago this fall, Afghan soldiers allied with the United States stormed into the provincial capital. American bombers flew overhead, dropping explosives on a fleeing enemy. Soon the province seemed quiet. The main fighting was elsewhere, and security was turned over to German troops as well as their Afghan allies.
And all these years later, civilians are frustrated with both Western troops and their own government. Violence is increasing. NPR's Soraya Sarhadi-Nelson reports from Kunduz.
It's hard to find anyone on the streets of the northern city of Kunduz these days who feels safe. Like Abdul Rahman, the 21-year-old takes out his frustration on ice milk he's churning in a metal bin. He complains of attacks around the province that make it difficult to get around. Nearby, apple vendor Khoda Dad says he can't even go home to his village only a half-hour drive away.
At night, the militants demand we bring them bread. If we don't, they hit us. And if we have beards and come back here to the city for safety, the police grab us and accuse us of being Taliban.
The main highway that runs through town and connects the northern provinces of Afghanistan to the rest of the country is equally dangerous. Just outside Kunduz city, two destroyed tankers that were part of a convoy ferrying fuel to NATO forces sit on the side of the road. They were hit by militant rockets and gunfire on a recent morning, a few minutes' drive from the German base that is tasked with helping Afghans provide security here. Such scenes paint a bleak picture of a place that a year ago was among the safest in Afghanistan. The relative calm here in this farming region and its proximity to the Central Asian nation of Tajikistan are part of why NATO several months ago decided to send its supplies through here. But the Western coalition forces in the Afghan government were unprepared for the militants' response. Reached by phone, the Taliban's shadow deputy governor in Kunduz calls himself Mullah Ahmad. He says the province is now a top priority for the group. The mullah explains that with the militants firmly entrenched in the south, the Taliban is looking to strengthen its hold on the north, especially now that the new NATO supply route runs through here. The goal, he says, is to keep NATO forces fighting everywhere across Afghanistan. Kunduz is familiar terrain for Ahmad and other militants. It was the northern capital for the Taliban when the group ruled Afghanistan. Now the Taliban is back. Afghan officials say many of the fighters were recruited in refugee camps across the border in Pakistan. The Taliban works loosely with other cells, including Al-Qaeda. There are dozens of foreign fighters among the militants, including Uzbeks, Chechens, and Arabs. The militants travel around on motorcycles and in stolen Afghan police trucks. Tribal elders say insurgents demand shelter, money, and food wherever they go. They also blow up Afghan and Western projects aimed at improving life for residents, like in Chardara district of Kunduz, where the Taliban has set up a full shadow government and court system. Lieutenant Colonel Carsten Spieling is a spokesman for the German base in Kunduz.
Well, we still do some projects over there in Chardara. But every time it's almost to the end of that project, the insurgents, they bomb it down or whatever.
Like a bombed-out bridge over the Kunduz River that Spieling says the Germans almost finished repairing a month ago. Local officials say that even with limited manpower and means, the militants have clearly established a foothold in this province and its southern neighbor, Bahlan. Dr. Habiba Urfan is a deputy chairwoman of the Kunduz Provincial Council.
People are afraid to go by road because the Taliban set up checkpoints and stop the cars. They're looking for government workers to kidnap and kill. This happens even during the day.
She adds the police seem powerless to stop it. Kunduz Governor Mohammad Omar says that's because there aren't enough Afghan security forces in his province to deal with the menace. He complains he only has one police officer for every 1,400 residents. Omar, who recently survived the Taliban assassination attempt and whose brother was killed by the militants, also blames the Germans. He says they are under much pressure from their countrymen back home not to fight.
They have training and superior weapons, but they don't even shoot when they're being fired at from the villages.
Lieutenant Colonel Spiering, the spokesman for the German soldiers here, says their mandate is to make sure civilian and troop casualties are kept to a minimum. He points to the criticism that German commanders received when they called for a U.S. airstrike on hijacked fuel tankers in September. The airstrike ended up killing Afghan civilians along with insurgents.
Every time we go to these villages, they are laughing and waving the hands and whatever, and our friends. And on the other hand, and the other time, they go with their rifles against us. So it's hard to find out who is in Taliban and who is a good guy.
He adds, with only 1,000 German troops in the area, it's impossible to be everywhere at once. But in recent months, several U.S. Special Forces operations have tamped down militant activity, says Kunduz Governor Mohammad Omar. He says he'd like to see more American troops in Kunduz. Omar says the Americans fight more effectively and fiercely, although they have cooler relations with the locals than the Germans. A U.S. surge in the north is not on the cards, however, given more pressing needs elsewhere, says Navy Rear Admiral Gregory Smith, a senior spokesman for the commander of Allied troops in Afghanistan.
Long term, I think you'll have to recognize that not every part of the country will receive as much focus as another part of the country, and the areas in the south right now are clearly under much more pressure.
Smith adds the attacks on NATO supply convoys on the new northern route are not any cause for alarm so far. General Abdul Majid Azami cautions against dismissing the threat the insurgents pose in Kunduz and Bahlan, however. Azami, who is the intelligence chief in Bahlan and until recently held the same post in Kunduz, says if the two provinces fall, so do a half dozen others surrounding them. He and the Kunduz governor say the militants would also gain easy access to the towering Hindu Kush range on the outskirts of Afghanistan's capital, Kabul. Saraya Sarhadi Nelson, NPR News, Kabul.